This is the first get together for this chevra, for the Yishrei chevra. I mean, I'm pretty chilled. So I thought I'd just mention an idea about chevra and pulling things together in that sense. Since obviously we're part of different chevras, we have a shir, a base madrash, but this group comes together something special. Maybe it could also give a little bit of context of why you would come together if you were to do this on an ongoing basis. You know, what are we trying to accomplish? Okay, so this is our first one, so we don't have to come up with a real plan. You know, we throw out the food, we get together. But like, what would we be doing if we go weiter? So maybe something to think about, and some of the chashivas of Chevron, it fits really nicely, I think, into obviously the themes of Purim. So we know...
Chevron?
No, Chevra.
Chevra.
Like the singing group. Gotcha.
Right, not the song Chevron. Sung by Daddy. That's different. Great song, but that's different. People don't even know that song anymore, right? Yeah, it's a great song. Anyway, it's very dramatic. So we know Mishenichnas Adam Arba B'Simcha, right? We're all very familiar with that phrase, based on Martinus and Chavtes. So, but it's an interesting kind of a concept that in the beginning of the month, so we're arguing Arba B'Simcha. Why? Because we have like this miracle that happened in Purim 15 days later, 14 days later. So we're going to have an entire month that is ensconced in a concept of Simcha. Rashi points out in the Gemara over there that it's for all the miracles, even heading into Pesach. But on the surface level, we've got Purim coming up. We know Purim is a day that's very much celebrated with a sense of Simcha. And somehow it seems like it spills over into the rest of the month. So what is that concept about? Is that unique to Purim? And if it is, what is our avoda with that? So in a certain sense, it's not really unique, actually, because if you think about it, all the Yom Tovim the month seems to take on a character of the Yontif. Right? When it comes to Pesach, so we say in the Haggadah, Yachol Mir HaChodesh. There's a Havamina that you would even start saying Tzipor Tzias Mitzrayim from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh of Nisan. So obviously you see that the Haggadah understands there's something already within the month itself that's connected to the whole parsha of Geula. And it's not just the day itself of Pesach, but even from before. You know, when it comes to Yom Noraim, we all know we start with Elul, and we have a whole Elul that leads up to the Yom Noraim. So in a certain sense, it's not totally unique that Purim, you know, it had elements of Purim that start earlier. But on the other hand, I think if you look at each one separately, they each have really its own avoda. It's not just a given that whenever there's Yontif, so there's always an earlier Achana. I think there's more to it that you're supposed to work on, and there's something more to it that's connected to that avoda, why it specifically would start earlier. And so I'd like to, that's my suggestion, I'd like to just to try to develop that when it comes to Purim, what exactly are we working on from the beginning of the month. So there's a very fascinating, it's brought down in the Darche Mussar, Rav Yaakov Naiman, one of the great Balei Mussar. So he quotes from the Alter Mikelm, Rav Simcha Zissel, right? And he says the following, an interesting idea about Purim. And he asks, the Alter asks, I understand, why from the Nes of Purim do we create a takana, the Chazal created a takana that we should do Mishloach Manos Matanos Lev Yonim? Right? We don't have that by other Yomim Tovim. We don't have by other Geulos that all of a sudden we had all these kind of interesting takanas to give tzedakah and to help other people out. And where does that come from in terms of Purim? So he says the following idea, and I'd like to twist it a little bit. So the Alter says, he says the following. He says, we know from the Gemara, the very famous Chazal, that right, Mishra Sota Sota Vikokula, Yazir Atzmin and Hayayin. If you see a Sota, right, involved and engaged in this terrible immoral act, right, she's a married woman, she's going off and gallivanting around with other men, that breaks down the whole concept of family, and we consider as something a terrible act of immorality. So what are you supposed to do? How is a person supposed to react? Yazir Atzmin and Hayayin. You're supposed to take on a Kabbalah not to drink wine, because wine leads to frivolity leads to sin. That's what you're supposed to do. Yazir Atzmin Zinayan. So says the Alter, you see, what's the chat behind that kind of concept? The fact that you have to react with the Yazir Atzmin Zinayan. So the Alter says the idea is that because we believe that deep inside of all of us, there are little kernels and little seeds of all these Shemetz Shalra, all these potential for going off, to being led astray. And that when you witness those things, right, it kind of awakens, maybe in the very smallest fashion, but awakens within us that little tendency towards the Ra. And so therefore, we want to nip it in the bud, we want to attack it from its source, and do something to make sure that that source and that seed cannot grow, and we nail it where it is. And that's really the concept of Yasir Atzmanayo. No one should be so certain and so secure about who they are and what their capabilities are that, like, I'm totally mufka from that. You know, I could see some terrible thing and I'm totally mufka, it doesn't affect me, it rolls off my back, I have no shaykhis to it, and I can just go as if nothing happened. Chazal say that's not true. You have to act as if something happened. You have to make sure that it doesn't kind of plant within you some kind of a little netiya towards that act. And so therefore, Yazir Atzman Ayan. And so therefore, says the Alter Mikhem, the same thing was true by Purim. Fascinating idea. He said, what did Klal Yisrael witness? They witness a Rasha Marusha. They witness a person because of his own greed and his own ambition, right? He was willing to destroy an entire nation because of one guy that won't bow down to him, right? That rubbed him so badly. That guy, Mordechai, won't bow down to me. He was willing to be mafkir an entire nation, all right? And Chazal, the Klaiso witnessed that. And so Chazal say, you know what? We don't say to ourselves, you know, that guy is so off the charts. I don't relate to that at all. Chazal felt if you witness such an act, right, maybe to not that extent, no one would ever go off and become such a megalomaniac, but maybe it puts inside of you a little shemitz of insensitivity, a little spark of not caring and not being empathic about other people. So therefore, you know what we do when we are finally saved? Chazal said, you react. What's the reaction? The reaction is we do something, not to drink wine. Matanos levyona mishloch manos. The reaction is you start giving, you start helping, you start being more sensitive and more caring to the people around you. And that's how we always react. That's why unique to Purim is this concept of Mishloach Manos Matanos Levyona, which you don't find by other gurus.
What about Paro?
Huh?
Paro wanted to destroy us.
Paro did want to destroy us. Paro didn't want to destroy us. Paro wanted us to work hard and be avadim. He wasn't trying to destroy a nation, but it wiped us out. But yeah, that required some thought also. So what do we gain and learn from that? 100% to think that through. But the power was not out to destroy us. So I wanted to twist out a little bit and take in a slightly different direction, just point out the following. That works very well for Matanos Levyonim. In other words, if we're worried about a psychological change within us, that we've become desensitized to something, so then of course we've got to try to tackle that. His bodedus, they come up with some game plan of how we're going to adjust it. And me matos levyona makes sense. I have to give. So instead of being a selfish, ambitious person like Haman was, Haman, nothing would stop him from being the top. No one's going to get in his way. He'll crush anyone. So we want to work on that. Right? So we're going to be starting matos levyonim and worry about the underdog and the person who has less. Good, that makes sense. Why bedafka mishloach manos? Mishloach manos seems to be a little bit of a different concept. Mishloach manos, when you start giving food to people, we know what food is about. When we give food to people, it creates a chevershaft. It creates connections. It creates socializing. We know there are all sorts of takanos about what we can and can't eat when we have goyim around because we don't want the intermingling. We don't want to lead to intermarriage. Food is a social thing. And so therefore, it seems like part of the response is that we need to connect with each other. Not just uproot a bad mito inside of me, but uproot that bad mito. I'm not arguing the altar. I'm saying, but uproot that bad mito in the context of creating a chevra, in the context of creating a chabura, where we're connected with people and we're working together, right? Supporting each other, and not just me trying to be empathic because I've got to work on that mito, but together we're growing. Together we're working with each other. And that's the concept of chevra. When chevra get together, the strength of chevra is chevra leans on each other. Chevra creates a context for growth. Right? I can do growth on my own. I can go off into my closet and lock the door and just be in God. Right? So what element does chevra add beyond that? And that is it creates a context. It creates a context for growth. It creates a support network for growth. It creates a give and take and a push. That's something that's very special about chevra. And if you haven't read this piece in Dalai Shor, which is like, you know, a classic, it's a must read. But it's on page Lamed Beis in his first sefer, Chalav Aleph, which talks about chevra. And he says something very fascinating. He quotes a medrash from Shir HaShirim Rabbah. And the medrash talks about the following, based on this pasuk in Shir HaShirim, that Hayoshim Bagonim Chaverim Makshivim Lekolecha. Right, those who are sitting in the gardens, chaveirim are makshivin lekolecha. Chaveirim are listening to your voice. And the Medrash says, you know what it's describing there? The Jewish people are yoshvin beganim. The Jewish people are gathering together in the base Medrash, are gathering together in shul, and they're davening, and they're saying Kriya Shema, and they're zugging Tehillim, and doing all these beautiful things for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaChavei Makshim L'Kolecha, make your voices heard, because the Chaveirim are listening to your voice. Who are the Chaveirim? Ah. So says the Medrash, exactly spot on, says the Medrash, Chaveirim, Ve'ein Chaveirim, Ela Malchei HaShares. The Chaveirim are the Malchei HaShares. Interesting, that they're called Chaveirim.
Also an interesting language.
That they're called Chaveirim?
No, that Chaveirim Ela Malchei HaShares.
Ela Malchei HaShares. Not fascinating?
Your friends aren't your friends. The Malachim are your friends. Your friends are whatever.
I don't know. Or maybe the only friends are Malachim and you're totally excluded. They're friends with each other. They're their own, little clique. The Chaveirim are the only Chaveirim Malachim Sharis. No one else is. Maybe your friends, but I hear you. In Chaveirim Malachim Sharis. Well, I'm going to show you another time where we use the Lashon Chaver and Chaveirim. But Chaveirim Malachim Sharis. Why are Chaveirim Malachim Sharis? So I thought maybe as follows, to fit with what we're saying very nicely. What do we say in Kedusha? How do Malachim act? They interact. Shalim Zelazeh. Right? They speak to each other. They play off each other. Ayemukon Kuvodo. They yell out to each other, where is God's place? And then they respond. Baruch Shein Kuvod. They say,
Kadosh.
Well, after Kadosh, they say, Baruch Kuvod Hashem Mimkamo. Right? They're playing off each other. When we talk about all the celestial beings, we always talk about the Tzivai Shamayim, right? The hosts of the heavens. They're considered a host. They're a group. They're not considered like Yechidim so much. That's called Chaveirim because they connect with each other. They play off each other in their growth, praise. But
so they are a clique.
And that, yeah, they are a clique because they personify that midah of turning towards the other and bouncing off the other and spurring the other on to say Kadosh, Kadosh. And who else are all Chaveirim? So the Rambam talks about in Demai, who's a Chaver? Tamir Chacham. The Rambam says, Tamir Chacham are called Chaveirim. V'ulai, says the Rambam, he quotes this Rambam, it's in the Mishnayis in Demai. V'ulai nikru bazeh Hashem, and maybe the reason why they're called Chaveirim, Tamir Chachamim, ki chevrasam zela zeh chevro ne'mona. Because they're a be'emes group, because they're trying to grow. They're trying to talk Torah together. They're trying to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. But that's a chevra. A chevra is working together, l'shem shamayim. That's what a chevra is. So it creates a context for growth. It creates a context, a little bit of that cohesiveness to work together on something. So I think, I like to call it a context. Right? A yachid is by himself, he's an individual. You don't have an individual by himself, he does what he wants. But you lose that sense of context. You lose the sense of a larger picture. And I think Purim is all about that larger picture. Why is Purim all about the larger picture? Purim is not about the yachid. Purim is about the bigger picture. It's all about the context, right, in a larger way. So I'm going to take a step back in a slightly different way, but then bring it back. Rav Huttner is very fond of quoting about this larger context of Purim. He says the following brilliant, fascinating yisod, right? Rav Huttner points out, we all know the Gemara Brachos and Daf Vav. So this is Gemara Brachos and Daf Vav. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps mitzvahs just like we keep mitzvahs, right? If we wear tefillin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is wearing tefillin. Everything mirrors each other. But where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, where we are praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our Maase Mitzvos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praising us in His Maase Mitzvos.
What about fear of God?
Ah, excellent. Right, excellent question. Rav Huttner actually talks about fear of God in some of his essays in Rosh Hashanah.
How does God and fear of God?
Right, how do you have Yerusha Mike? He's very good. He has a very difficult piece, which I think I put it online, that piece. I think it's in Rosh Hashanah, one of his pieces. So that's a little more complex. But what I'd like to discuss tonight is, says Rav Huttner, that's true. If I kind of take that as just yesod, as a foundation, a piece that's just a fact, that our actions are a mirror. So we know we have Maase Mitzvos, and we have Divrei Rishus. Ram talks about Divrei Rishus. We have Divrei Rishus. We have things that are not necessarily a specific mitzvah, and they're Divrei Rishus. So what's the Divrei HaRishus by God? Right? If we're all paralleling each other, if we're a microcosm for like a little bit, if we're an outgrowth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's behaviors and actions, so then there's something that Hashem stands for as mitzvah, he wears tefillin, whatever that means in a larger sense. But then there also should be some kind of Divrei Rishus. It says, what could possibly be a Divrei Rishus by Hashem? So says Rav Huttner something very fascinating. He says, we have to redefine what we mean by mitzvah and Rishus. Because the truth is, as an Eved Hashem, there is no such thing as Rishus. Right? If we're really true Avadim of Hashem, Ravadayim, if we're really Avadim of Hashem, so an Eved is never on his own time. An Eved is always, right, always beholden to his master. So what do we call Divrei Rishus? So there's no such thing that Hashem doesn't care what you do. It's not like he gave us 613 mitzvos, a lot more obviously, but 613 basic mitzvos, and then anything else, whatever you want. You're out of care. Go have a good time. As long as you don't do an Aveira, it's good with me. There's no such thing. Hashem cares about everything we do. So says Rav Hutner, the difference between mitzvah and rishus is as follows. A mitzvah means that when I execute an action that's a mitzvah, I'm immediately either going against Hashem's wishes or doing Hashem's wishes. Immediately. If he says shake a lulav, as soon as I shake a lulav, I did what Hashem said. If I'm talking lashon hara, I did against what Hashem said. It's immediate. The litmus test, we don't need one. It's right away we know exactly whether a person went against Hashem or did something in accordance with Hashem's will. Divrei HaRishus, says Rav Hutner, means that at the time of the action, it's unclear whether or not this is part of a person's avodas Hashem. Right now, this action is undefined. That's what Divrei HaRishus means. Right? It's not that Hashem doesn't care what we do. It's just at this moment, we can't tell yet what this action will lead to. Will it lead to a growth in avodas Hashem or not? That's Divrei HaRishus. Meaning, for example, like the Rambam writes about, right? If a person goes to sleep, right? So right now when he's going to sleep, Hashem didn't command me to go to sleep. It's not something he specifically told me to do. But the question is, okay, what do I do with that sleep? So right now we don't know. It's called Divrei HaRishus. We don't know where this leads to. If I go to sleep and I wake up with more energy and I dedicate myself stronger to Kadosh Baruch Hu because of it, I daven better, I do mitzvahs better, I learn better, so then it became an avodas Hashem. If I wake up and I waste my time, so then I didn't use that action for avodas Hashem, and then the mafreya, I realized that my going to sleep didn't do anything in terms of greater accomplishments towards reaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Divrei HaRishus means. Divrei HaRishus means it's undefined now, you only know later on, and then lemafreya, we can define whether or not my action was positive or not. That's what Divrei HaRishus is. So if that's what Divrei HaRishus means, so then when do you have the Fai HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, Purim. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Divrei HaRishus. As opposed to, let's say, a Pesach, as opposed to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Yetzias Mitzrayim at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Nisim and Niflos, takes us out of Mitzrayim. So then you know on the spot, you know exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is accomplishing, right? There's no question, if and buts, about it. He wants to save us, he saved us. We were stuck in Mitzrayim, he took us out. No questions asked. That's like a Dvar Mitzvah. The Divrei HaRishus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when all these string of events are happening. Right now we don't see anything. We don't see the Yad Hashem at all. We don't see Hashem is involved and invested in loving us or taking care of us. We don't see it. That's the story of Purim. The Purim story of Purim is we're slugging our way through. We're schlepping ourselves through each day. It looks like things are really bad. But it's only achrei hakol that we're able to then redefine limafreya and say, oh, Hashem was taking care of us all along. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Divrei HaRishus. Right? So what does that teach us about Purim? What teaches us about Purim is that Purim is a yontif based on context. It's a yontif where I don't know at this exact moment what's happening. I have to be able to put all the pieces together and create a picture. And within that context, then I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking care of me. That's what we celebrate on Purim. When Rav Hutner says, when you're asked at the end of time, Tzibisli Yeshua, did you hope for Yeshua? It's not the Yeshua where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just save you. You're in a bad matzav, and boom, all of a sudden, miraculously, you got saved, everything's good. But Tzibisli Yeshua, the ultimate Tzibisli Yeshua, is to be able to look back at your whole life and be able to put the pieces together and say, you know what, all along, Hashem was really guiding me. He was taking care of me. I couldn't see it at the time, but now I know. That's about context. That's what Purim is about. Purim is about always creating context. And so therefore, when we celebrate Purim, we don't celebrate Purim in a vacuum. We don't celebrate Purim as an individual day. Just today, Purim, we were saved, and boom, that's all we care about. We have to be able to go backwards and say there's a context, right? We have to be able to go backwards. And so therefore, we go back to all the way back to the beginning of Adar, and we say it's a time of Simcha. It's where we're going to celebrate Simcha in a larger way, where we try to create a context for the Simcha. That every day, even when days are not so clear that there's a Simcha involved, we create the Simcha, because no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us. We want context. And that's why I think the Simcha Purim also has to be done in a way there's Chevra, because Chevra creates context. It's the larger picture. How do we all fit in together? How do we help each other? Right? Just like it's not an individual day that we celebrate, but we celebrate a host of days where we can try to grow through all the days. even through the ambiguity. So too, how do we grow together, not as an individual, how does it grow together? And I think, and this I'm a little bit scared to posit, but I think it may be true, a little bit in the story of Purim itself, that what did you have? You have Haman, he's really upset at this one guy, this one Mordechai, who's just an individual, is going against him. Mordechai really stood alone. He stood out and stood alone. He didn't have a chevra with him. He was just being obstinate, and this Haman was because of this one Jew. He was going to eradicate everybody. So what does Mordechai tell Esther? Right, she becomes the queen, and the proclamation becomes known, and everyone's mourning. And Mordechai sends word to Esther, and he says, "You got to go in there, right, and beg on behalf of the Jewish people." And Esther's first reaction is, "I'm not going to go, right? I'm an individual. What am I going to do?" And Mordechai says, "No, you have to go, right? You have to go." And what's her response? Lech nosos kol ha'yehudim. Her response is, "Mordechai, we can't act as individuals. We can't act as individuals. We have to go together. We have to go as a chevra. We have to go as a group. We have to go as a klal Yisrael. Lech nosos kol ha'yehudim." And that's the only way we're going to be saved. Because Purim is all going to be about context. It's not going to be about the individuals anymore. And when she did that, that began, right, the quick end to the story and the quick execution of the Yeshua. So it was the concept of the cloud. And it's so interesting, again, I don't know if this to be true, no one I saw says this, Medrash doesn't say it, basically Shalom don't say it, but the very end of the Megillah is so weird, it says that Mordechai is ratzui l'chol achav, right? That Mordechai was loved or was liked by rov echav, by the majority of echav. Doesn't say all echav. Why? Because there was that element of Mordechai that still existed as a yachid, right? Mordechai was born out of a crisis and he stood out as a yachid. Esther was all about we have to pull the klal. And there's an element of Mordechai that always stayed a little bit as that yachid, right? It was rov echav and not kol echav. He didn't fully tap into the kochos of the klal, perhaps. But I don't know if that's 100% true. And so therefore, the story of Purim is really about the klal. And our goal is to create a concept of klal. And that's what we want to do. So when you come together and you meet, you're trying to create a chevra where you're trying to grow together. That's why you're meeting together, to grow together. So what I would suggest is a little bit of a mandate for yourselves. Like, why are we getting together? You create context for it. The whole point of a chevra is to create context. So create a context for it. What are we working on? When we meet together, let's have a goals. What goals can we set for each other that we can work on as a group and then report back on and say, okay, you know, here's how it went. Here's what we're working on. Maybe people can share some ideas about it. So pick an avoda. Pick something you can work on together. We all have to work on things. We all have areas that we're deficient in, areas that we're weak in, things that we have to grow about. Pick something. There's like a gazillion of them. And say, okay, maybe next time we meet, someone will say a little bit something about it, give some divrei chizuk about it. Maybe we can report back on, you know, thoughts that we had if we were trying to work on that inyun, how maybe we struggled or how we fell, if we're willing to share. And that's what a chevra does. That's a chaverim of the Talmid Chacham and the Shem Shamayim. That's a purpose to get together. That's something that's chashev. And then you create, you know, meaning for why we're doing the whole Mishnechnas Adar. The whole point of Adar is create a context so that you can do that with a chaver also. So I wish you a lot of aslacha. If you're willing to take me up on that offer, I think it gives meaning to why you would want to meet again and, you know, not just have some pizza. And some soda, which is, you know, meaning in itself. So
you're going to lead a open discussion of chaburiness.
Why do you say?
That means you're going to lead.
Me? I'm not sure I'm coming back every time, but you know, your fearless leader here will lead. But anyone could offer. Why can't anyone say something?
No,
I think
sure.
The idea would be to pick something together that you could work on. I guess it's a challenge. Can you guys pick something that you work on?
The Yishrei challenge.
The Yishrei, yes. Stick it out as an email to the group. Take the Yishrei challenge, all seven of you. That's right.
Yeah.
But what could it be, you know? Better shmira with our phones, that it's not encroaching upon our lives as much as it, you know, it does. You know, certain blackout times where we all kind of commit not to using it. Or, I don't know, checking our emails less, going on social media. It could be a million things that you want to say, let's work on. You know, doing more kindness for each other. How many times did we, you know, actually do a chesed this week? I don't know. Whatever it is, there's a million things we can get into. Obviously,
you
more.
Helped us move. What? You helped us move.
Yeah,
that was a chesed.
But you helped us.
He helped us move.
Oh, did you? Oh, you moved apartments.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. That is very chesed. That's very chesed. So I guess the goal for next time is who else can help you? And now you need what? The books aren't on the shelves yet. Okay, everyone to Ari's house.
We're
So, all right, very good, Rabbi Isai.
Shkach. Thank you very much.